Thanks, Andy, and welcome to all of you. I'm thrilled to see so many people here. We're very interested in getting your ideas. You've come at just the right moment when we're about to start working on our alternatives for the plan, so we invite you to engage with us, to learn with us about, we're going to share the information we've learned, give you some of the things that are inspiring us, and then ask you to really help us, as some of you already have, think about the future program for the park, what our goals should be, and how we can get you there. So that's basically the flow of the evening, but we begin with this extraordinary picture with the red dot, red stars, where the park will be. That's just the launch point, as we say. It's the touchdown on the bridge and the launch, or the takeoff for all of us to get onto the bridge and to enjoy the park. I'm here as Perkins and Will, Karen Elsher is a principal, but I have a fantastic team that's working on this with us. I'll just introduce a couple of them. I think you've met them as you've walked around this evening so far, but Sarah Keel is here from Pete Walker Partnership, Landscape Architects, who are key partners with us in putting this together. We've got Rob Reese and his team from Fair and Piers. We've got, are you there? There you are. We've got Tom Morris is here from BKF. Darcy Rosenblatt from ESA doing the environmental analysis. EPS is providing economic and funding, going to be very important support to us. And Vicki Granz has probably met every single one of you as you've come in from HDR, who's organized this meeting and made sure that it would flow and everybody be supported, have something to eat and everything. So we thank Vicki for all of her work. So let's dig in. Sarah and I are going to go back and forth in this presentation together. We're inspired by this site and by the words of Travis and others that have talked to us about it, and we're delighted to be digging into the details of the plan now. This is a place that needs transformation. It's an extraordinary place. It's not going to be a park like anywhere else in the world, but it will be an amazing place for people, which has not been in the past, and that's our goal. We want it to anchor the bridge, to invite different kinds of experience, to engage the bay in a wonderful way, to demonstrate sustainability in a number of ways in the park. That's our goal. To educate about the past, what's happened before, and where things are moving with transportation, with the bay, all the things that the park will engage in. Of course, to launch all of us onto the bridge to experience that as pedestrians and bicyclists. And it may be that large look or that close-in look that we have here. Let's move on, I guess, to the next. Tonight, we'll talk about what information, what we've learned, what's the project study report, what we're doing, how we've laid the foundations for our work. You've heard a lot about that because we're sharing that information with you as the open house with these boards. And then we'll ask you to work with us a bit on looking ahead for the park, giving us some challenges to meet. So our work, what's a project study report? You can go to the next. We've completed our initial site analysis, looking at all the issues of what it means to be here at the launch point on this extraordinary bridge, and access, ecology, infrastructure. We're tonight going to resolve some things about goals and program, and design opportunities will come next as we develop the park concept, and then we have to do some tough work on how we're going to build it and what the opportunities might be there for funding. As we said, this box, the blue box, is where we are in our work for the project study report, and where we are tonight is just in the beginning part of that work. We sit here as a result of all the great thinking that the bridge designers did, having this idea about the park, but once we're done, there still be work to do, environmental studies, design and engineering details, management funding plans, get the funding in place and the approvals, and then go into construction. So we're just one piece, and we're glad you're here. We hope you'll continue because there'll be multiple opportunities for participation and engagement through the full course of that. No detail needed, but this is a blow-up. You can see it on the wall of our schedule. We're here in February, and by February of 2011, we'll have done that park concept as well as an action plan to go along with that, identifying the issues that we'll all face as we implement this arm-in-arm moving ahead towards the park. We've begun our outreach. We're happy to get any suggestions you have for doing more. I'm thrilled about, I think the word did get out. Some 5,000 postcards went out, email blasts, postings, distributions, follow-up calls. And there is a website. We hope you'll have it memorized by the end of the evening, baybridgegatewaypark.org. And you will always be able to get information about our next meetings and what's happening and information on that website. So what is the role of a park? What do we mean by a park? This isn't a park like any other, but it does need to serve some of the things that we hold dear about parks. And Sarah's going to take us through some thoughts about that. We'll go back and forth.
Thanks, Karen. Next slide. I'm going to talk a little bit about parks, and I think that's one of those things that on the one hand we all know intuitively, and sometimes when you put them into word, it's sort of saying, they're just wonderful, or they're just this, and we all know they're an important part of our society. This is a map of the East Bay Regional Park District, and I think it's a mission statement and commitment to nature and to public health and to community are all pieces that we would hope to have our park be part of. And we think of this park as part of a larger system of parks in the East Bay, but also in the region. Next slide. When I think about parks, one of the most important things they do is to help us build community. It's the place, it's one part of our public space together with our streets and our plazas and other things that allows us to come together, not always to have a conversation, but to be together and to participate in activities that sort of are part of our civic life and our social fabric. Next slide. Generally speaking, when you think about parks in the East Bay, you think about some of the places shown in these pictures, and you think about opportunities for recreation. And we have a lot of really wonderful things already. We're really lucky. People who live in other parts of the country all know how lucky we are to live here. And I think what I want to do tonight is talk to you a little bit about how special this site is and how to think about it in the context of things we already have and what the very special and unique opportunity might be for a park on this particular site. Next slide. The new bridge, which you've been hearing a lot about, and I think it's one of these things that first you hear about it, and the more you hear about it, and the more you hear about it, it really begins to bloom, and you begin to realize how extraordinary this is going to be in terms of a piece of engineering, and in terms of a reconnection to the bay. It's been described that the old bridge is like going across the water in kind of a cage, and this is really going to open it up and allows you to see your surrounds and to connect more to the natural environment, but also to connect more visually to the East Bay and to looking towards Treasure Island and San Francisco. We would not be making this park if it weren't for this bridge. We really think bridges and parks go together, and where you touch back to land is a symbolically important place as well as a physically important place. Next slide. We do this already in the Bay Area, and I put this slide up to say that we have a tradition of putting parks together with bridges, and we have some extraordinary spaces in the Bay Area, not just here in the Presidio and the Golden Gate Bridge, but other places where the relationship of open space and the arrival into a city is defined in part by a park. And these are really special places and places that have opportunities for different experiences. Next slide. When we think about looking towards Oakland, the slide on and Emeryville and the Berkeley and the East Bay and everywhere, I should say, pardon me, but the view right now, I think, is very much dominated by the mountains, and you're taken actually further than where you are, and part of what we're excited about doing with this is for making a transition and a place of orientation and identity and threshold that says, welcome to the East Bay. This is a remarkable place to be and begins to put those things together. So the importance of this site is to land the bridge, but also to be a gateway and a welcome point for all of the East Bay. Next slide. When we've been looking at sort of types of different parks, we've put together sort of a montage of different things parks to do. And I think naturally, when you have a park at the end of a bridge, access to water is one of the big pieces of that. We're all lucky to have BCDC, who sort of shepherds us in terms of protecting the bay and access to it. And I think the bay as a resource for all of us in terms of open space, in terms of kind of the psychological pause, is very important. And access to water will be one part of our park. Next slide. There are also lots of examples in other places where you look at what you already have. This is, as has been talked about a little bit already, a park with an extraordinary history in terms of transportation, in terms of industry and other things. There may be an opportunity to make a park here in a way that puts together some of the things from the past and some of the things from the present. Next slide. There are also parks that on sites like this take land that has been contaminated or has other issues with it and really is derelict in some way and brings it back and sort of reinstills a sense of life to it with cultural activities, with art, with planting. And I think that potentially is something that could happen at this park. Next slide. Some parks take this further. This is a park in Germany where the planting was specially designed to actually clean the ground and do phytoremediation and put together sort of opportunities for improving and sort of regenerating the landscape from an environmental perspective. Next slide. We also do a lot of work at my firm all over the world for corporations and other kinds of entities. We do a range of work, some public, some private. And we've been finding that development for all kinds of businesses and all kinds of other development opportunities is often strengthened with parks. This is the Novartis Pharmaceuticals World Headquarters in Basel, Switzerland. And we've come in and put a park there together with light industrial and manufacturing and a headquarters. And I guess this point of this slide isn't to say this is exactly what we would do, but I think it shows that the park can be an opportunity to stitch together unlike uses. Next slide. Parks, obviously, I think we all know this in the Bay Area, but have opportunities for stormwater management and for thinking about what's happening with our water. It's a very interesting site with East Bay Mud there. Next slide. And I think one of the things that will be central to our thinking about this particular park is not to think about the park as just an object, clunk, that it's a park and you can get into it, but to think about the connections. I think Nancy Nadel said it at the beginning here, but how you get to this park is as important as the park itself. And we're thinking a lot about models for that. This is the Emerald Necklace in Boston, where the parkway sort of wends its way through the city and becomes a park space that's more like a thread. Next slide. There are newer examples. This is the Buffalo Bayou in Houston, where spaces underneath their network of freeways that were flooding have been transformed into a park. Next slide. And we have local examples of trail networks. I'm showing the Bay Trail here, but also the Emeryville Greenway, of trails and things that get close to our site, some of which are planned to come through it, and how we put all of that together and think about access, I think is part of the park design rather than something that should follow it or we'll hope that gets worked out. We want to keep those issues together as we go forward. And we really see all of these things as opportunities. No one of them is the right answer. And we also really believe that there are ideas you will bring to us about parks that have never happened before. So I'm showing you precedents that have happened before, but I hope there's input for things that haven't happened before as well. And we look forward to developing something that has as many of these things as possible within the design of the park.
So what have we learned so far? How does that help us move ahead with the right park for this place? We've been looking in a variety of directions. We've reported some of it here on the boards tonight, what the context of the site, ecology, infrastructure, access, and landscape observations. So let's run through those quickly. Place in the Bay, we heard eloquently about the role of this place in the Bay. I think we can move on to the next one. Population density. This one is quite interesting. Always following that white star and the red dot, you can see where the site is. This is a site, if you just add up San Francisco and Oakland, there's 1.2 million people just immediately at the ends of this bridge and therefore potential users of the park. But then think of the whole Bay Area and the way this connects. It's a tremendous amount of population nearby. However, not right next to the park. As you can see, this map shows population density. So if you live in a dark brown or a medium brown area, you're somewhere you can easily walk to services and to parks and be part of an urban life. But the yellow area that surrounds our park really is a kind of a no man's land in terms of living areas. It's a place to work, and it's a place where it's very important to the industry of this region. We have to get people through the yellow area and to that park to enjoy it, and it just shows you one of the challenges that we face. But lots of people to work with. Next one. This map shows you the redevelopment areas in Oakland, the way they are arranged in relationship to the location of the park. So we are within the Oakland Army Base redevelopment area in that general district, but certainly West Oakland, Oak Center, Acorn, and the central part of the city are in easy reach of our site as well. This represents an opportunity because it means someone's there in place. They're already thinking about change, about things that could happen in the future, and we want to work with a lot of partners in getting this park done. Looking a little closer now, we're looking at the location of the park itself. I put it down somewhere. Here we go. You're looking a little closer in now, and you can see the ownership. So this is land ownership. This is that outline of the park area. The red dot was sitting right here, so we're closer in. And you can see that the 9 agencies who've been working very cooperatively and have really supported the idea of this park, are committed to it, also have compelling interests because they're actually there doing things. A lot of them own land. So Caltrans, East Bay Regional Parks, we're expecting would get this land from the Army. The city of Oakland has a big piece. The port is here. East Bay Mud. So everybody's in there for lots of reasons, and it's very important to them that these things work well together and that the parks serve everybody as we move ahead. And you can see, if you think about that ownership, when you look to the future in the next slide, for land use, it partly follows the ownership, but it may not follow it completely because you have area in green which is already expected to be park land. You have some areas under study, portions of which could become part of the park as well. You have our neighbors. We hope to establish a really good neighbor relationship with these development sites, West Gateway, Central Gateway, East North Gateway, which are part of the Oakland City ownership and are intended for development that relates and supports the port. And as you can see here, potential flex office or commercial retail uses in the area. You have East Bay Mud. So there are uses that need to work well together, and there's a chance if they do that we get a grand park and we get great connections to that park as well as the park itself. We've also looked taken the initial look at the ecology of the area. There's one slide that summarizes generally what's been found. So of course we have the sensitive environmental area north of the bridge, and that area needs help for restoration. It needs to replace some of the non-native species in the area. We have eelgrass out here, which can be actually a positive, protecting the shoreline in terms of the wave action against it, being habitat as well. And then there's areas where we have tidal wetlands, a whole variety of non-tidal wetlands as well in the site. So this is our opportunity to improve that natural landscape, to invite people there to learn about it, and to, where necessary, really just observe it without touching, and we'll be making some decisions about that. Site structures, utilities, and easements, it's very challenging. You'll see in this next slide. What I did was put up a slide with everything on it. It's not a pristine, empty site waiting to have grass planted on it. It's full of things, and so I just, this is overlaid many, many layers of different kinds of utilities on the site. So there's the gas lines and the water lines and the sewer lines and the electrical lines, all the things that are on the site in addition to the bridge, of course. This darker gray is the outline of the new bridge that'll be on the site. So you can see it's a challenging site. The largest piece, perhaps the one that can be most challenging but also an opportunity, is a treated wastewater line from East Bay Mud that's a 10-foot diameter pipe that will stay on the site. So we'll be working with all of that as part of what we learn on the site and what we use. If you look at the next slide, this is close up to the tip of the land piece. You can see, I just put this here because this is the existing bridge. The new bridge is north of that. So you can see that land will be freed up as a result of moving the bridge to the north, and that's a real opportunity for us just at the tip. And there's some wonderful older buildings, some with historic standing, right there at the tip that can be used for things that people would enjoy on the site. So when we're left and we remove or move or shift or sort some of those things that are challenges on the site, we will still be working with the bridge itself and access roads. We'll be working with the billboards in place and cell towers and some wonderful old historic buildings that can become part of the experience of the site as well. So this is our raw material. Access, very challenging. I'll just put a few slides up. A number of you have discussed this with Rob and others as you've gone around the open house. This puts it all together in one place. It shows you the big highways. So you've got the 8A, the 580, and the 80 connection here. You've got then major other roads. You've got Mandela, West Grand, which is going to be very important in terms of access to the site. Immediately near our site, Maritime, and then Burma Road is the road that actually will get you onto the tip of the park here. So those are in place. They provide access. There are also barriers in some ways where you can't cross under, around, or over them. We're going to do that in some way to get you all to the park. The green represents plans for bicycle routes that would be providing access to the site. Of course, very important to get people safely and enjoy that access to the site on bikes, because they will, of course, want to go up on the bridge. There are also a wonderful system of bikes that come through Emeryville, and also, you know, so you've got 40th, 27th, you've got a number of bike corridors. And then you have access along the water to the north, and we hope there'll be access from the water on our site as well. A little more detail on a couple of these. This just shows, no, the rest of the next one, Grace, thanks. The red shows the existing Bay Trail in the vicinity of our site, and then it shows in blue, the sort of dotted blue line, the proposed, the ones that are not yet developed, but planned routes. So you can see how the system would then link together. Looking more closely at the bike plans, the solid lines are existing bike routes, and the dotted lines are ones that are proposed. And just to point out a couple, because I don't think you can see quite all of them, but the key ones are, of course, the proposal to have a Class 1 bike path, and will be in place to get you to the bridge. On the day the bridge opens, you'll be able to get there, and you'll be able to get up onto it and bike or walk on the bridge. Proposed also along Maritime, getting access into this area and moving through what is one of our biggest challenges on the site, which is an area of congestion. You saw where the truck traffic to the port and the vehicles, all the modes of transportation are going to come together, and that's something we'll be proposing some things to solve. Just to get a feel for it, if you haven't had a chance to look at the pictures on the wall, here's how it will feel rising from our site, getting up on the bridge and heading towards the tower and towards Yerba Buena Island. Pretty fantastic. Now, there were only a couple people in that picture. There weren't very many people. But we think there are going to be a lot of people who come here. If you just look at the Golden Gate Bridge for comparison, in the spring to fall, so like May through the fall, 250 people an hour for 12 hours a day go over the Golden Gate Bridge. And 220 bikes for 12 every hour for 12 hours a day go over the bridge. There are 24 bus routes stop there. We have a couple bus routes that actually stop at the toll plaza now, but think of it when the park is there. They have some 200 spaces to support that activity. We'll be needing to think about parking on or near our site. And they only have 120,000 cars a day, or vehicles a day, that cross that bridge. We have 280,000. We think there are going to be a lot of people, one, because it's going to be one of the great experiences in the world, and also because we just have all this population and demand and interest, and look at all of you here tonight. So we think it's going to be pretty active in that area of the bridge. Let's just finish the last piece, is landscape observations. So let Sarah do those.
Thank you. This is actually where I may get very excited, because I think this is one of the most extraordinary opportunities to get to do this as a landscape architect. It's a remarkable site. I'm an Oakland resident, and I feel it's rare you get to work at home. And I'm, as a local, I guess I'm even more excited about it. We've talked about this a little bit with Caltrans, and I think they've helped shape my perspective in terms of thinking of this as a community of bridges. We live on the water, so we all participate in sort of a regional community of the bay, but then we also all participate in being bridge users and in that experience of going over the water together. And in some ways, I think it's a particular psychological space in all of our days. Can be good, can be bad, depending on traffic, but it has a unique time, and it has a unique geography when you're telling someone, well, I'm at the bridge, or I'm at this. We all know where that is, and so I think it's important to think of these as rare. If you think of the whole Bay Area, there just aren't very many, and there are these little threads that kind of tie us together. Next slide. Being part of that community of bridges and being part of the moment when you leave ground and sort of go into the air, this park needs to be a very special place and needs to be a place that adds to your memory so that when you're going across, you don't just say, oh, there are some cranes there, or, you know, after you go through the maze as your primary geography, there should be an identity to this place that's about the landscape. And there should be a sense of place that's about the people who live there as well as the objects that populate it. Next slide. Historically, our site was underwater, was actually part of the bay. So you can see that in 1915, the water extended quite far back in. And this is going to tell us a little bit about how we build and what we build in our soils. I think it also tells us a little bit about thinking about global warming and sea level rise. And water, as I've mentioned before, is a big subject for our site in terms of design inspiration and in terms of both constraints and opportunities. Next slide. It's been mentioned by a couple people already, but the importance of this site in terms of transportation historically, if you sit down with someone who's really knowledgeable, is kind of infectious and gets you excited about how the land was built. I had a wonderful history teacher in high school who used to correct papers when they said, buildings sprang up, because buildings don't spring up. People build buildings because they want to with lots of time and effort. The bridge didn't spring up and cross the water. People planned it and figured out how to fund it and made it happen. And so that history and the relationship of history to the physical environment and the traces of it is really very obvious at our site and quite remarkable and something that we hope to tap into. Next slide. This is another historic picture of the Oaken Mole there as well, which is part of that history. Next slide. We've talked a little bit about the port itself. I think for anyone who has kids, certainly for your relatives who come out of town and say, hey, doesn't that have something to do with Star Wars? And any number of other people, the port itself is a really remarkable thing to look at. The cranes, the way they move, their sort of elegant quality against the sky, we really think this is a great asset for our site. Something that is the economic heart, not just of Oakland, that would be a terrible misunderstanding, but of really the whole region and the opportunity for our site to be significant in terms of the region and even in terms of the country. The port is a big part of that. Next slide. When you sort of put all of those things together, the history of things moving, the fact of us going across the bridge every day, the port moving goods and services, there is something about this site which is about moving around and a whole lot of things moving in different directions across this site, over this site, to and from this site, sometimes fast, sometimes slow, sometimes on our own power, sometimes with lots of fuel. But the character of the site is very much about movement, and I think putting that together with some of the access questions that we're challenged with is a really interesting opportunity and an interesting way to think about making a park, that a park can be about movement, and it would tie it very nicely into some of the goals we have for public health as well. Next slide. I've talked a little bit about this already, but that sense of procession, and I think it's both a vehicular procession as well as a sense of movement without your car, which a lot of us obviously like to do as well. But that sense of waiting, paying your toll, going up a ramp, down a ramp, orienting yourself, arriving, touching down, and all of the sort of nested scales of the mountains of the East Bay, Treasure Island, some of the taller architectural monuments, and all of the other pieces that come together to make this sequence of events tell us something about the design of this park. This park really isn't one place. It's a set of things that perhaps happen in sequence or perhaps procession. Next slide. And I think this has been expressed a little bit already, but we're part of a family of parks, and that relationship to the water's edge and putting together both open space with trails and movement is not just an opportunity, but really a responsibility. Each piece of open space, which has been hard fought and hard won, is made stronger by being linked to the other ones. It doesn't really make sense to have them be separate from one another. And when you get to this point, I think as you saw on the bike maps and so forth, it's an interesting point in the Bay Trail. A whole lot of things are going to happen there. Things come from the south, things come from the north, other things come there, and then there are a whole lot of dashed lines. And so part of what we want to do is figure out the answer and have the park be one of the engines for helping to get the energy to make some very hard decisions about how you get access in this area. Next slide. On the site already, there are things that I would call features, and I've talked a little bit about the cranes already, so I won't go into great detail. I think the bikes are a huge feature. The fact that you can get on the bridge here is going to be one of the things that's important to our park. There's wildlife, there's the cranes at Radio Beach, there's the hope in the future to have a water trail around the bay and perhaps a kayak put in. There are a number of things that if we did nothing, many of these things would happen, but they may tell us something about what should happen here. Next slide. There are also a number of existing buildings. Three of these are newish and a number of them are old. Some of them have historic significance. There are real opportunities to think about adaptive reuse of these buildings. I think they could connect and bring out the history. There's been talk about a museum. It would be quite remarkable to do something that spoke to the transportation history in this area and to pull that through in one of the buildings that was used for transportation. And we're excited about how all you put all of these things together in a park. Next slide. There's also some existing vegetation, but very little. One of the things I'm interested in is just sort of the question of vegetation on this site. I think we're all in a time when instead of thinking about sort of industry and technology or nature, we're in a time of thinking and nature. And so we would like to put together the port and all of its economic vitality and the freeways and all of these other things together with a remarkable park. And we think we can do that. Next slide. Obviously, there are some unique things about our site. One of them isn't up here, but you all have mentioned it, which is noise. Cars are really, really loud. And if you've been to some of the parks in the Bay Area near freeways and near other things, they can be very loud. And that's a challenge. That's also an opportunity. There are, I'm sure someone from East Bay Regional Parks can attest that there are activities that are loud looking for homes. So maybe we have a home for some of those. But it will be something that we'll be thinking about in our design. The other thing is light itself, what it feels like when you come past the site at night, the light that's already going on in the port, the light that has been beautifully choreographed for the design of the new bridge, and how all of, and the billboards that are already there, how all of this light comes together and makes something that feels rather than random is something we're quite interested in. Next slide. In terms of scale comparisons, there's just a few that are here. So that yellow outline on the top left is sort of over our site area, and you can see that in comparison to Crissy Field, Defremery Park, and Mandela Parkway. And I think what it tells you is we have a pretty big site. It has a lot of length to it, not necessarily a lot of width. It also has a lot of things going on within it. So it's different, obviously, than all of these parks. But I think its scale tells you a few things, that it's more likely to have more programs, as in more things you could go and do there, and they would be very like a Crissy Field, than a smaller park, which might have one or two or three things. We ought to be able to get something for everyone in this room, in this park. Next slide. This has come up already, but this question of sort of barriers to access, getting across and getting to the site is going to push us to consider questions at a planning level off of the park site. Right now, there are the freeways here shown in red and the railroad shown in black. There are lots of places where you can actually walk under the freeways, and obviously the bike path is proposed to go underneath. Getting across the railroad is the really particularly difficult part, but we can see opportunities. And if you look at the site today, people have had to do it for numbers of reasons. So there are trestles and tunnels and other things and dedicated things that do it. So there may be opportunities to have dedicated things for pedestrian and bike access. Next slide. The maze itself is an extraordinary piece of architecture, and I probably reveal my nature in terms of interest in spaces like this, but I think thinking about the maze and the land underneath the maze, when you go around and look at the photographs and the maps and so forth, they're very deceptive because they're two-dimensional. The maze soars in the air. All of these things are happening. And in plan view, it doesn't look like there is land. There is some land under the maze, and maybe we would be able to get through some of it. Next slide. Just sort of as a point of reference, that's 85 football fields worth of funnily shaped land that maybe has an opportunity. Next slide. There are parks, obviously, in Oakland, as well as some new ones in San Francisco, where people are thinking about that space under freeways as an opportunity. And so we would think about how to put that together with questions of access at appropriately scaled distances to make an experience that was usable for people who weren't getting to the site with a car. Next slide. West Oakland is a place that I've actually spent a lot of time. My husband's shop for years was in the Ratto Rubber Factory on Mandela Parkway, and we were there long before Brown Sugar Kitchen was, although I'm so grateful it's there. Now there's something to eat. And there's been a lot of change in that area recently, right around Mandela. It's an extraordinary community with an extraordinary bunch of people who live there. Interesting old architecture, interesting new architecture, and a lot of change that's going on. And I think we're particularly interested, I think, in that population diagram that Karen showed. It's a little deceptive. In some of that area that isn't tan, there are people living there, perhaps. Yeah, there you are. There are people living there. It's just in small numbers, and it's in warehouses, and it's, you know, complicated. But there are populations here, and we're particularly interested in talking to them about what this park should be. And there's people who've lived here a long, long time. Next slide. This is just a photograph showing some of the connections over and under that I talked about that are existing. Next slide. It's a little out of order. The last thing, sort of philosophically, I've touched on this already, but I think when you get to this part of the city, it's a part of the city where psychologically, even when there is open space, it sort of falls away visually and falls away emotionally, and we're very interested in what the presence of green might mean, and in terms of plant material in particular, and in terms of other ideas about green and what the opportunities would be for a park to transform how we feel about this part of the city and about the industry there as well. Next slide. One opportunity that we've been talking about is how to use water. There's a lot of water available from ebb mud right now, you know, going out into the ocean, and there's water being collected from the freeways and going into detention basins, and there's issue of sea level rise. And I think all of those things together begin to suggest some kinds of productive landscapes that might be wonderful parks to be in, but would also have other purposes. Next slide. So this is our diagram, sort of working diagram of the reach of this park. So the green part is the part that we're, you know, pretty sure can happen in terms of a park, but we're really looking at how far out can we go, and are there other landscapes that are likely to happen anyways as part of development and opportunities in terms of good neighbors and working together to do what you said in terms of blurring the boundaries and really pull this park back through as a series sort of ribbons or threads that might connect some of the access issues. So the access would come together with the park. Next slide.
Oh, it's still me. Sorry. There you go. So I'm supposed to explain to you what a park program is. In simple terms, program is one of those words you learn when you become a designer. And when you become a designer, instead of just saying, what do I want to do there, you start saying, what is the program of the park? So what we're really trying to get from all of you tonight is to talk about what can you do at this place. I want to make the point to you that sometimes that means I want a basketball court and I want to be able to play basketball. Sometimes it's less specific in terms of a function. It might be I want to be able to get there from my house. It might be something that says I just wish it looked a little better. So it's a range of things that are not always directly tied to activities, and you should feel free to put things out there, and we're interested in wild ideas. The list of icons along the bottom, keys to sort of the categories we're working with. One is bridge experience itself, which is sort of self-explanatory from this, but getting to look at, be near the bridge, learn about the bridge and how it was made. History, culture, education, and museums. Active, which is, I think that one's obvious. Active recreation, which includes all, it's sort of a shorthand for sports. That's another designer term, active recreation as opposed to sports. But it's not only sports, anything where you're moving your body a lot. Passive recreation, which might be reading a book or bird watching or things that are by their nature slower. We always have an argument in my office about whether yoga goes in active or passive. I'll let you all decide. Environmental resources, which would both be things that are already there and things that you wish could be there. Park access, which I've talked about. Concessions, which we think range from things like bike rentals to cafes to a lot of other things that could happen there, festival and events, and public health. Now, public health is my category, and it's probably the most abstract, but I also think it's really important. So when you think about the quality of your life, of where you live, and what you get to do, and how it feels to live there, I think public health begins to put those things together. And it has a range of things that might be an environmental, and it is about access, but it's a special category too. Next slide. So we've started by looking at a program. And I want to say that I don't think this is a regular old neighborhood park. I'm not opposed to having benches and basketball courts and any of the things you might have in a regular neighborhood park, but I think this is a special park. And because of that, I think it needs a special program. And there are things you can do here that you just couldn't do in a regular park, and you wouldn't want in a regular neighborhood park. This is going to serve a regional community. We believe it could be an international community if it's fabulous, and it will be fabulous. But this is a special place. We want you to sort of open your mind to think beyond just, hey, it would be nice to have it down the street from me. We want all of those things too, but I think it can be more. Next slide. I'm almost done. So these are some images just about seeing the bridge. I think this is a program that's obvious and already covered. Next slide. We've talked about the park as a bridge anchor and its important role in terms of doing that, both on the ground and as you drive across. Next slide. There's been an amazing number of things to happen as you've built this bridge. There's been amazing things done in terms of visualization by Caltrans and Autodesk and others. There's been amazing seismic things that have happened and technology invented and so forth. I'm interested in that not just sort of disappearing to the special people who know about it, but being something that could be showcased in this park or in a museum. Next slide. There might be pieces of the bridge, and we are going to have to save some of them for historic value. There are also pieces of other bridges, I'm told. So we have an opportunity to keep some of those and maybe, you know, use them for something. Next slide. There's also, as some of you all know, a wonderful culture of sort of legends and mythology and lore that happens around bridges. Many of us know William Gibson's trilogy. This is also the troll that's on the Bay Bridge. Many of us haven't gotten to see it up close. Those are all the movies the bridge has been in, but bridges are special, as I said at the beginning, and so how do you build on that to make this park somehow build on that culture? Next slide. Bikes, I think, is self-explanatory, but what more could you do with bikes? There are amazing things happening. History, and education and opportunities for kids to get out here and do all number of things in terms of getting excited about engineering or gardening or other things. Next slide. Passive recreation, which as I've explained already is pretty obvious. Next slide. Bird watching. There are a lot of birds here. There are a lot of birds already using the north half of the site. Is that something we could build on? Next slide. Active recreation. Is there special active recreation that nobody knows where else to put and it could go here? Are there other programs that could be remarkable? Next slide. Boating, which is already happening, but could we build on that? Next slide. Dogs. There's been discussion about whether or not there are enough places to take dogs in parks. Next slide. Art. I think there are amazing things happening already in Oakland with art. Could we build upon that on an event basis, on an installation basis, and on a permanent basis? Next slide. And then regeneration and sustainability and some of the metrics that we would like to start thinking about. Next slide. Kids play. Anybody who has kids knows how important parks are to your sanity and what else could this place have? Could it have something we don't have elsewhere? Next slide. There was discussion that came up about amusement park or rides or other things you could do. Next slide. Cafes, community, places to eat. Next slide. Identity. These are two things from the site that are there and three things from other places in the world. But are there structures and things that really make an identity that would be exciting? Next slide. And events, outdoor movies, and concerts. This is some of that loud program I was talking about, where you go out here for a specific thing to do. Next slide. So I guess I'll close by saying my goal is when we're done proposing designs and building this park and having it happen, that every one of you feels so involved and so committed to this park and such a believer in it and thinks it's so wonderful that you also feel the stewardship for it. This is really the beginning of that process, and we want to do something so amazing that we all want to take care of it. And so I really look forward to hearing what you have to say later this evening.
Thanks, Sarah. Hold on to that inspiration. We're all going to need it and work together. And now we're ready to work with you. We're going to ask you to do three things with us at each one of the stations. That constitutes the station over there with those boards that people have started putting up program ideas. It's the same boards that are here. So that's station one, station two behind you, and there's a station three in the room right behind that, just outside the door right there. I think you can actually get there from both doors. We're going to ask you to work with us on a couple of things. One, the goals. You read about them, and there's a board. If you go to the next slide, you can't read this, but you will be reading it because it's right there on that board. And you'll tell us, did we forget any goals? What goals do you think are most important? The objectives that we outlined, which ones do you think are most important? And then tell us if you have some other objectives you'd like to add to our work. Give us the challenge, then we'll report back to you. If we do it, we'll tell you how. If we can't do it, we always commit to telling you why. The next one, that after the goals, it's program, and Sarah's told you about these different categories of program. We want to know what would bring you to the park, what will set this park apart, what can happen here that can't happen anywhere else, and what might that be that you would give us some ideas. And then what would you like to see for yourselves as neighbors, a lot of you are, for the East Bay, the Bay, and for visitors from all around the world. And then we'll test those things. So here's the program board, and you'll be recording what you think might be good program ideas within those categories. And if you do them within those categories, that helps us a lot in terms of our work, so we can get a sense of the general gist and mix of programs that you're interested in. And we will report back on how we've done at the next meeting sometime late in the spring. And then what you'll do, if you go to the next slide, is you'll put your ideas up and work with people from the team that I introduced at each one of these places, and they'll help you figure out what categories those programs should go into. So you might be, discussing with your neighbors, or you might just be adding the things to the boards. When you do that, in the next slide, next to you will be a board some of you have already seen that shows you something about scale, and Sarah talked a bit about that, and gives you many more parks in terms of comparisons in scale that you can look at and see how it compares to Raimondi Park, to parks that you know, to Frank Ogawa Plaza in terms of gathering places, and you'll see this sense of scale in terms of those of us who stand right here and the world of big things that we're going to be in when we're in this park. And then there's Mark pointing to one of those, and then we'll ask you finally, when you get up in the morning or some Saturday afternoon and you come to the park, where are you going to be coming from? And when we're done with these maps where you stretch out the strings and tell us how you'd be getting there and where you'd be coming from, that defines even more our challenge in terms of access. So then we have the charge to find you a way to get there, and we'll have a sense of all of you and the places you'll be coming from and how you'll be getting there so we can help you get there. And then, so that is the map that you'll be using. So you'll stretch out, and you show in the next slide, you'll see that you stretch out a piece of yarn, and you tell us how you're getting there, what that route is, and then we'll have that web to look at and to test for our designs. So that's the charge for this evening. If you go to the last slide, here's our canvas. It's an unusual kind of view of it, but you can see now if you were looking back towards Oakland with the new bridge in place, freed up on the right of some of the encumbrances on the site, that and that stretching back to the neighborhood and to the East Bay in terms of access. So let's begin. We'd love to have you with us.